Hey guys, welcome back to the Infamous Podcast, episode 28. What are we calling this one?
We make ourselves legends.
We make ourselves legends. This is Brian, along with
Johnny,
and our special guest today. Introduce yourself, sir.
My name is David Griffin from Los Angeles, coming at you live here. Well, I guess it's it's not really live. Thanks for having me, guys. We're really honored to be on here.
So, David, like you said, he's in Los Angeles, but he's a Midwesterner at heart. And by breeding, so
where are you from, David?
Bounced around, but I grew up mostly in Western New York, Buffalo, and also Michigan. I went to college at Central Michigan University, so yeah.
All right,
we went to rivalish colleges.
Oh, Brian, don't forget my mom. Her whole family's from Columbus, Ohio, so my family's half Buckeye
family. So. But we won't hold that against
him. He claims Michigan. So.
he rocks the maize and blue. on the beginning of November there.
Yeah.
So, but no, so just so the good folks out there, the Infamites, what are we calling these people who listen to us?
I don't like that.
So the people who made it past that and have forgiven me, David and I know each other. We used to write for a website called Think Hero. And you know, we've kept in touch ever since and chat about all these things that we all love.
Right.
So, right. And that we all chat about. Now, David has moved on and he's a YouTube sensation.
Oh, thanks for saying that, buddy. Appreciate it. So
he has some of my favorite recap shows on Collider Video, which is part of Complex. So David, why don't you share with everybody real quick like what you do at Collider?
Yeah, right now at Collider, I'm doing a couple recap shows. One is the Flash recap show, which is one of my favorite CW shows. Maybe not my favorite CW show, which maybe we'll talk about later in the podcast. But I also do Star Wars Rebels recap, which we just shot yesterday. Mm-hmm. It's been a lot of fun, especially that mid-season trailer we saw a few weeks back. That was incredible. Also, I write for Screen Rant. .com, and I do weekly reviews there as well. So you can find Shannara Chronicles. I also do Star Wars Rebels for Screen Rant as well. I just reviewed the third season premiere of Black Sails, and I'll be reviewing Vikings and Outlander coming out later this year. So yeah, I cover mostly television for Screen Rant and a little bit of TV and film for Collider.
Very cool. I always call your show After Flash. I don't know why. It just sounds like fun.
It's a Collider Flash recap show.
Yeah. And I told you when Flash was gone, you guys should have gone on and called it just Instead of Flash and just talked about Flash for an hour during the time slot. But
what would you have talked about though? I mean, like
just rumors.
What you're hoping this to come.
So well, and they do a lot of that. I don't know if you've seen any of the shows or not.
No, I haven't.
Well, I feel like with the CW's sorry if I'm getting off topic, but I feel like with the CW they always release like these set photos and all these photos are always leaked. I feel like we know what's gonna happen like three or four episodes ahead of time.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're not kidding. So
well, and if you've been a comic fan, you can kind of guess some of the stuff that's been gonna happen too.
So all right, so just kind of kicking off, do you have the notes in front of you that I sent you?
Oh, I do. Yeah, I have everything. Very nice outline too. It's got photos and everything. I love it.
Yeah, I did that just for you because normally I'm usually finishing these notes as Johnny's like getting here. So
yeah, I usually come with like a notepad of notes and then. Just put this in a folder. We'll put this in a folder. And he sent me this, and I was like, because he asked me what the title of the show.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about Legends of Tomorrow, but I had realized this week's the Challenger, 30th anniversary of the Challenger explosion. And I was like, just call it We Make Ourselves Legends because those people are legends
they
now.
Are,
I mean,
so. Yeah. Now, David, you're just a little bit younger than us, not by too terribly much, about a decade. But for us, for Johnny and I mean, the Challenger was a big deal. I remember watching it in second grade and seeing the shuttle explode. And I still remember our teacher's reactions, like quickly turning the television off. And
we didn't watch it.
You know, kind of suddenly, I mean, we had like 60 kids in my class.
Right, so. Yeah. I can remember at my school, we actually were having a regular class. I was in fifth grade. And the classes would change. We would go to different teachers.
Yeah.
In elementary school, they started that as a program. And we were changing class, and one of the kids from one of the other classes ran up to my teacher and said, you know, tell everybody to go back in the class because the Challenger just exploded.
Yeah.
And they literally, like, were, you know, not grief counselor type thing, but they were just like talking about what could have happened.
Yeah. I mean, cause you know, I mean, David, what do you really remember about it? If anything?
I had to look that up again, the exact date. Cause I think I was about a year and a half. That was back in January of 86, I believe. So yeah. I was still pretty young, but the thing is that story stuck with me because I remember seeing that, you know, on news stories later on, my mom would tell me about it. I remember my mom saw it live. And it kind of, I don't know, inspired me. I went to space camp with my dad on a father and son trip, which was a lot of fun.
Oh, that's cool.
Wait, you got to go to space camp?
I went to space camp at Kennedy. Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Were you inspired by this or were you inspired by the Leah Thompson movie Space Camp to go to space camp?
No.
I'm going to space.
I didn't see that till after. No, it was actually story. And I don't know if you guys maybe did this. It's probably not on the news, but I just went on YouTube and watched the CNN coverage of it. And it's so eerie. Yeah. There's so much silence. No. And when it blows up, it's almost like they're waiting for them to, I don't know, escape, or they're waiting for the ship to somehow come down gently. Like they're just waiting for something not disastrous to happen. And you know it happened. It's eerie to watch.
Even I think they were waiting for like parachutes or like the escape the people that were watching in the command center.
Like I know Chris McAuliffe's family was there. And, you know, obviously the astronauts' families they're always at the launches and that. But Chris McAuliffe's parents were there. And like, I remember that being like the Time magazine cover
that. And the reason this was such a big deal is she was the first teacher, non-astronaut civilian to go in, to be going up there. Yeah. You know, and it was one of those things where, I mean, it just made it all the more tragic.
Yeah.
You know, what's crazy too is like thank goodness it doesn't happen often, but it's crazy just to think those shuttles can even get up there with all their shop to all that fuel and you know, all the combustion that has to happen for that thing to get up there. I mean, it's amazing that thank goodness that this hasn't happened more. But I mean, there's been articles out now about this gentleman's statement about how the ship wasn't ready to fly, and there was a letter that was released or something about warning the I guess the board about this. I don't know. There's a lot of stuff going on lately.
Yeah. When they did the inquiry on this and they brought in, I can't remember his name now. A couple of years ago, they did a TV movie about it with, I think William Hurt played the guy.
Yeah.
And, they had, I think Sally Ride was on that board and there was a few other people and he kept asking questions. Everybody else was, like pretty much saying, you know, it was just an accident and all that. And he kept pushing to say, no, it was our fault. It was NASA's fault and that, because they hadn't, you know, thought about what could happen to the O-rings and all that stuff. And eventually somebody like leaked information to him and he had the proof and it made NASA go, yeah, it was our fault. Mm-hmm. And after she passed away, he revealed it was Sally Ride. She had leaked the information.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she asked him not to tell anybody, but she told him what had happened, and he said after she died, he felt that it needed to be known that she was more of a hero than people thought she was, because...
So Sally Ride, the first woman in space.
Yeah, the first woman in space, she had revealed, you know, that had been a problem.
Yeah, and then...
The temperature in Florida at that time of year isn't, like, as severe as it was that year, and they didn't... You know, there was ice on the booster rockets.
On the landers and everything.
So it was just one of those things where, you know, I tell people, because, you know, obviously we've all lived through 9/11, but I tell people it's like I've lived through two of these events because I remember when Challenger exploded and that was as big of an event to some people as 9/11 was.
Yeah, I mean, for me, like David, I mean, like every year for Christmas, I asked for two things, a trip to space camp and a guitar.
Yeah.
I never got
either one.
So, you know, for me, it was a very, very big, you know.
Well, I can just remember as a kid, event. I wanted to be an astronaut.
Yeah.
That, like, everybody at my school knew that I wanted to be an astronaut. And people came up to me, like, the day after it happened. They said, do you still want to be an astronaut? I'm like, yeah. I said, you've got to know that that risk is there.
Yeah.
You might die.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's what I was telling Brian earlier, is yesterday was the 49th anniversary of Apollo 1, where three astronauts died. It's just kind of weird.
Just kind of weird thing. So, okay, so we'll just kind of close out on this. And just real quick, it was Krista McAuliffe as the teacher.
Yeah.
And she was to be the first civilian in space.
Yep.
Payload specialist Gregory Jarvis. And then the astronauts were Judith Resnick, who was the mission specialist. Dick Scobie, who was the mission commander. Ronald McNair, mission specialist. Mike Smith, the pilot. And Ellison Okazuka.
Onizuka,
sorry.
Yeah.
Was the other mission specialist. And, you know, just seven super brave American heroes.
Yeah.
That,
yeah.
You know, we're lucky that we have a private entity like NASA that pushes technology and all the other things that we love forward, because we certainly wouldn't have smartphones.
I'd love to see more manned missions, like obviously, that. But the shuttles are retired at this point.
Elon Musk is trying to make that happen.
I would love to see us go to the moon and go to Mars, you know,
yep.
in my lifetime. I would hope that would happen.
All right. So moving on from one explosion to another.
Yeah.
Which might be not be the most sensitive segue.
Yeah, but you know.
David, what do you think of this announcement in DC Rebirth?
Starting over again. Number one's coming out. Go collect them. It's going to be worth something. Oh, wait. No, they're not. They're not going to be worth anything.
We're not going to put our kids through college with this stuff?
No, I don't think that's happening.
Dude, I remember on New 52 Day 1, and I was writing for science fiction at the time, and I was one of three people covering, so I had to buy all 52 of them.
Right.
And I did not buy all 52 of them, even though I was supposed to.
Yeah. I do have all 52 of them.
Yeah. I don't have... there's three that I'm missing, but anyway,
you have to, I mean, honestly, you had to give it a chance.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I wasn't negative toward it, but at this point, they've burned me to the point that I'm like, if Rebirth is a whole new number one for everything, it's like,
yeah,
I'm done.
I mean, I went
the Green Lantern and Flash.
I went as far as seven issues with some of it.
Yeah.
That was just not good. Yeah. So David, they're announcing this new line, but they're not replacing any of the people higher ups that have basically fracked the whole thing up with the new 52.
No, yeah, it just feels like a mess. I feel like DC's been slipping for a while, and you know me, Brian. I'm more likely to read DC than I am,
Johnny and I are the same way.
And not that I don't, you know, I love Marvel books, especially with all the Star Wars they've been doing, so I've been reading a lot of that, but I feel like Marvel, they have a lot of number ones too, but they handled it better, especially with, I actually really liked Secret Wars. They gave Jonathan Hickman this crazy story, or they let him tell his, you know, Hickman's crazy. He's like Grant Morrison. He can go out there.
Definitely.
And he went way out there.
Right.
And he went way out there, but he went for it, and they let him do that, and it's created all these, like, I like Totally Awesome Hulk. That's a cool number one. Having a whole, Asian team, Korean team, I should say.
Yeah.
Writing that book, and the Hulk is now Korean. It's incredible. I feel like DC is, I think they're a little, I don't call them scared, but I feel like they're playing catch up. You know, we see it with Batman v Superman, which I'm actually excited to see. But, you know, I feel like they're rushing everything. We got to get the Justice League out there. We got to get everything going as soon as we can to catch up with Marvel.
They're trying to get to where Marvel is without doing any of the work. And, I mean, we talked about this, what was it, last week?
Yeah.
Like, we basically bashed DC all of last week.
And then they announced Rebirth the day after. And I'm like, wait a minute, is this because of our podcast?
And
you guys broke the internet.
I'm like, wait. I literally sent him a message because I was up that night that it popped up. And I'm like, did they do this because they listened to our podcast?
No.
You wish they would have said, like, yeah, no, we would listen to the infamous podcast.
If they listened to our podcast, then, like, there we would have been reading about Dan Didio's, like, unfortunate car accident or something.
I would have been working at DC this week. So.
But, so I think if they're going to do this, the only way to do this right is to completely start fresh. Have no previous continuity. Don't come in where they're already heroes. Like,
are you saying like
Bruce Wayne is 8 years old? His parents died. Everything is year one.
Yeah,
for 6 to 8 issues.
Right,
and then you can jump ahead.
And
start telling like
this guy meets this guy stories. At this point and that point.
So you
guys want all new origin stories then?
Yeah, because what they did with New 52, and I'm not going to speak for you, but what they did with New 52 to me is they rebooted everyone but Batman and Green Lantern and then tried to shove 75 years worth of stories
all the history in
into
5 years. Yeah.
It's why we had five Robins. I mean, like, Dick Grayson was Robin for like 4 months and then he became.
Yeah, I questioned a lot of stuff. I mean, the only good books that came out of New 52 were Swamp Thing and Animal Man.
Both canceled.
I love Swamp Thing. Those were so good.
The Animal Man and Swamp Thing with the red and the green.
Yep.
Was like some of the coolest stories I read. I mean, Swamp Thing I've always had a thing for, and they really did a good job writing that story.
Have you always had a swamp thing for him?
Nice.
Wow.
Nice.
Wow. Yeah, I went there.
I'm leaving. It was good talking to you, Dave, but I'm leaving.
So, anybody who's on,
I did write down like some ideas. I said maybe the resetting Flashpoint.
Yeah.
And going back and just
ending
all new 52.
And the way Flashpoint ended, they left that out where they can, where Flash can very easily step back into.
The other thing I wrote down was maybe it's Legion of Superheroes. It's just the rebirth of Legion of Superheroes.
Yeah.
You know, because they've been talking about Legion of Superheroes a lot recently, and it's like, and maybe, but
as far as team books go, because I'm not a big team book guy. Right. I never have been. Other than Teen Titans, X-Men, and Legion of Superheroes. So those are the three that I read. I don't like Avengers books. I don't read Justice League books very often. So, you know.
The worst thing was the backlash from the retailers, and nothing's even been no details.
Yeah.
Did you
see any of that?
No, what happened with the retailers?
So there were retailers who were like saying, this is, we've had enough.
They literally cut their orders for the next month because previews came out this week, and they literally started cutting their orders where they're only getting like the books for the people with files, and then they're getting like two books for their shelves.
Wait, are they doing that because it's just not going to matter? Because it's all going to be
they just
are that way.
Well, because of the like they overordered for the new 52 and got burned, right. You know, like some of the books that they've been published still aren't, you know, the greatest quality. So, yeah.
But yeah, it's just one of those things where I guess they've pissed off enough people that people are actually saying something about it now.
Yeah.
It's just tough. I mean, especially, you know, the few books that I do read now, it's mostly Image a lot. You know, I really like a lot of the independent books.
They produce
now.
A lot of good stuff. I mean, and it is independent writers, obviously. Yeah. And I mean, you know, The Walking Dead really has pushed Image into the forefront at this point. Mm-hmm. And I think just people check out stuff. Like, I always buy the number ones from Image, and it's not because I'm like, oh, this will be the next Walking Dead. It's more like, oh, I want to see what they're going to do and if it's worth anything. I mean, I have Saga number one because of that reason. Yep. It's, you know, it wasn't a collector thing.
I have Saga number one because this is the first time since I've been reading comics that I've been in on the ground floor for a Brian K. Vaughan epic.
Right. Yeah.
So
same with me. Same with me. Also, I'm really liking Mark Millar's Huck.
Yeah.
Oh, right now. Yeah. We're big fans of Huck. That was one where I was like, it's Mark Millar, and I'm like, yeah, I'll pick it up.
I don't know. I've been reading more like actual indie stuff lately than I ever have, mainly because of the show.
Yeah, you were giving me grief about it a few years ago because I was buying like indie books, and I'm like, this is the way it's going.
Yeah, and I got one sent to me the other day called Paradox Girl, where she can time travel, and she's done it so much and has been so irresponsible about it. There's like 30 versions of her living in the house together.
Okay.
And no one knows which one's the first one. She doesn't remember her origin or how she got the powers because she's like kind of just messed.
Cool,
and it's a lot of fun. And the art is wonderful. I'll make sure I'll share the book with you because they sent me a review copy. And I'm definitely going to write a review on it. But
when it comes to the
book. Can we give DC a little love, though? I got to give DC a little love. Just a little love. I'm really enjoying right now. I'm still reading American Vampire Second Cycle. Zack Snyder's Vertigo. It's Vertigo.
And see, that's where I say there's a split because it's DC and Vertigo, and I'm like, DC proper isn't getting it right, but DC Vertigo is like knocking it out of the park.
And they're knocking it out of the park six issues at a time for the story, and then finding another six issues to sell. As far as DC proper, I mean, the only thing I'm reading right now that I've really enjoyed, and I don't know if anybody else enjoys it, is Batman Eternal. Batman and Robin Eternal.
You've been reading that.
Because it's been such a long time that like it felt like the Robins were the Robins.
Okay.
And they're doing that in this book.
Yeah.
So
have you guys checked out Superman American Alien yet?
It's a good mini-series. I read the first issue.
I really liked the first issue, and then the comic book shop didn't put it in my pull list for the second issue. Yeah. So I'm just gonna wait till it's collected and I'll buy it all at once. But I really did like that first issue.
It's cool that Max Landis, he's working with a different artist every issue. So I know Jock's gonna do one in the future, which is really cool.
Yeah, that'd be cool. That's a cool idea too, because it's like if you're gonna do a book like that and you have a full script, but you don't want to get like one artist on there because they might be like Jim Lee slow.
Yeah.
You know, because Jim Lee's an excellent artist, but he's really slow. To have each issue be a different era of that Superman's timeline and have a different artist, it kind of, you know, makes it more interesting.
So yeah, I mean, David, you actually have access to some of these people because you live in LA and you could probably just drive to their houses. I mean, like, what advice would you like? Would you like, as a fan and someone who's been reading comics for a long time, what would you want to see out of this quote unquote rebirth?
Take chances. Just don't be afraid. You guys are making money off the movies. I mean, the comics are never going to be what they used to be. We're never going to go back to the early 90s X-Men selling like what 5-6 million copies. You know, that's not going to happen. I mean, if a book sells over 100,000 issues, it's a juggernot. You know,
everybody made a big deal because Star Wars number one sold over 1 million copies.
Yeah. Right, that just doesn't happen.
You know, back in the day,
that's the zeitgeist right now. Well, you know,
look at Marvel. Like you have books like a Miss Marvel. Mm-hmm. I think that book is a risk. I think that's something interesting. I think the article you maybe linked to me or something. Don't just stick to Batman. I think they said a third or more of the books that DC was putting out on their slate are all Batman related books. Don't do that.
He's in everything, and like it's kind of like Wolverine.
Yeah,
like Batman, I feel like Marvel's Wolverine, been more DC refreshing Wolverine? Lately because Wolverine is dead, and they brought in like Old Man Logan now, and he's on that Extraordinary X-Men book. And he's normally got
his own book came out this week.
Yeah. And I normally go out of my way to avoid Wolverine stories at this point.
Right.
And he's actually really good in it because he's super old and Jean Grey is super young. And, you know, it's a completely different dynamic. Story, yeah. So, because it's not like, he's trying to get with
her. I mean, if you ever read the Old Man Logan story where he killed everybody.
Yep.
It's like one of those things where he's meeting people that he killed.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things where, that's kind of a tragic character. It's not the Wolverine where it's, you know, cigar smoking, beer drinking, you know, hey, bub.
So I think, you know, for me, for Rebirth, I'd kind of like to see, like you said, a step back into the DCU.
Yeah.
But again, like we talked about a few episodes ago, without any continuity for a while.
Right.
Just tell stories.
Well, and the best time of ever reading Superman was when they had the triangle continuity, is what I call it, where they actually had the triangles and there were multiple books, mm-hmm. but it all like fell into place where it's like, if you read this issue, go to this issue, mm-hmm. and then go to this issue, because it was all happening at once. Right. And it's like, if you're going to
Johnny. I was going to say also just that for them to be afraid, like what happened to the All-Star series? Superman All-Star Superman was so good. You know, Grant Morrison is one of my favorite Superman stories.
All-Star Batman killed it. Because those first – we had Brandon Montclair on, who was the editor of those books at DC. And he said All-Star Superman was like the easiest book to edit because, Morrison just – knew exactly what he wanted to do, and then the Frank Miller one was a little bit harder.
Well, right. But I mean, that's because Grant Morrison writes a story and has an idea for a story, he's got it all there. I mean, if you look at his notebooks, like when they published that in the back of some of those like special trades and that, it's like you're looking at it going, it was all here. You know, it was all there written out on paper, and he just went, this is how it's going to go.
Yep.
I mean, you know, Multiversity was the best thing that DC put out last year.
Yeah.
I mean,
and I only read two issues of it.
That's exactly what David's saying. Yeah. It's like you want to have like crazy stories is what I call it, because nothing in non-continuity stories, you can do whatever the hell you want to do. And, you know,
so I mean, so this is, for both of you guys, it went out on a limb with things like Captain Carrot, right?
Oh, yeah.
But would you read a 6-issue Captain Carrot story?
If it was fun?
Yeah.
Yeah.
David, do you know what we're talking about there?
I'm not familiar with Captain Carrot. Who is his character?
It was in the Multiversity book that Grant Morrison wrote. Did you check that out? Yeah. So I mean, when you're talking about
from DC,
is this guy like an actual carrot? Is he a real carrot?
He's a bunny.
He's a bunny. He's a superhero.
But I would definitely read 6 issues of that. Yes.
Okay.
And it's one of those things where in one of the Multiversity issues, he literally gets crushed by something. And they push it off of him, and he just literally pops back up like a cartoon character. And
like he went 2-dimensional and then popped out to be 3-dimensional again.
Yeah. Sounds so it's like just And Grant Morrison did a really good job with writing him. Obviously Grant Morrison has a love for all of these characters. I was telling Brian, I said Grant Morrison should just be put in charge of DC, and they should just let him come up with the ideas to make people write his stories.
I think DC has a long way to go to get back into our good graces.
You know, it's like one of those things where, and I said it last week, you know, I had a love for them, so I worry about them. I worry about what's going to happen to the company because, you know, at this point it feels like I'm watching the Titanic sink from a lifeboat out in the in the ocean.
Oh, I forget which one. One of you, it was one of you said this, David or Johnny, that they're going to probably base it more on the movies.
Yeah, yeah.
So, see, that worries me a little bit because Marvel did that at first. They did it at first. But now with this whole Secret Wars, they've kind of like, look, all right, the movies are there, but we're the comics, and we're going to do our thing. That's how they have Ms. Marvel as other different characters. Right. So they're not copying. They have like, we have a female Thor right now, so they're not copying exactly what the movies. That worries me if they're going to like beholden to the movie so much because it's going to limit their storytelling abilities.
Well, and it's built off of, you know, just flawed like just logic for like who Superman is and who Batman is. So. Yeah, no, I'm really concerned about this.
We'll see, and I'm sure we'll start seeing news in the next month or so.
All right.
And I mean, we'll talk about it on here.
Obviously. Yeah, we will. So, and we'll, David will come back on, and we'll talk about it when we know more about it. And we'll be more organized when we get going. <'cause it's okay. laughs> Sorry.
Sorry, Blab people. You can't see my face.
lucky bastards.
Yes, they are.
All right. So, the other like kind of big rebirth return... The X-Files came back this week.
Yeah.
All right. So I have two questions. Just nice, David. So how do you guys feel of them airing this type of show after a major sporting event that they know is going to run long? And after seeing the first two episodes, do you guys want to see more of this like revival, like Millennium or Smoking Gun Man or
things I kind of like the idea of the six issue, six episode arc thing. It's not an arc because watching the second episode, you're like, oh, okay, this isn't a continuation of the first episode. It's just another X-File.
Yeah, it was kind of
It harkens back to the original X-Files where it's just weird shit happening and then being brought in. I mean, the X-Files have been shut down in the first episode. The X-Files were shut down in the last movie.
Okay.
I mean, literally, you know, the X-Files wasn't existent. They had ended at the end of that series. And that the whole thing of airing it after that football
game
was the fact that I talked to people who were looking forward to it, had set their DVR, and didn't think ahead that game was going to run over.
20 so I
had
or whatever.
You literally, if you DVR'd it, you had to add the next hour block because it was the news. And I did it, and I'm like, I'm glad I did that because I would have been mad. But,
I mean, that's not like the group that you do like this kind of show with, because first off, they're whiny crybabies. I mean, we all are. I mean, I'm included in there.
But I mean, why didn't they just air the premiere on Monday?
Yeah,
you know, they could have aired the premiere and the second episode on Monday
because they wanted to air the premiere of Lucifer right after the Anyway, David, what did you think of the show?
I liked it after the second episode more than the first. And I read because I was a little behind, so I watched it last night, both episodes. And I read that Chris Carter came out and he explained why they aired the episodes out of order. And it made a little more sense to me, even though, because the first episode was super disjointed. It was all over the place. It just didn't make sense.
So what they showed after the NFC championship game.
It's out of order. That's not the premiere. Yeah, I don't think that's the premiere.
Really?
If it wasn't the premiere, I'm sorry. Don't quote me on that because somebody's probably going to look at an article. Right, I didn't actually read the article. I saw the headline, so don't quote me on that. If it wasn't out of order, I should say I'm sorry. I should say episode two. I think was out of order. I'm sorry.
Episode two was probably out of order from what should have led in because at the end of the premiere episode, like literally at the very end, Skinner calls Scully up and they reopen the X-Files.
Okay.
So then they're going right into a case and it's like, okay, so the X-Files is back to active.
Okay. So as someone who didn't necessarily care for the original series, I liked Joel McHale.
Yeah.
Because I like Joel McHale.
Right.
But again, it just makes me mad to watch this stuff. And the X-Files never, ever answer anything. They just throw a whole bunch of questions out there. And I never feel like there's any resolution.
Well, that harkens back to Twilight Zone because Twilight Zone.
But that was different. I mean, Twilight Zone, like.
But
like,
I think that's because Chris
Twilight
Carter
Zone was an anthology and had different people every week. Like, this was the same dopey guy who I'm pretty sure if Fox Mulder ever got into a fight with anybody, he would lose.
He seems more willing to fight now than he did in the series.
Yeah, but I'm just like, it's, you know, he's an FBI agent, like, but I don't ever believe he would be able to protect himself.
Right.
Well, you know one of my problems is that I think David Duchovny, who you know, just to be serious, just to be real, I think he still looks great. You know, the guy's aged well.
Yeah.
But I think the issue is when he came out with that leather jacket, those dark glasses, I'm like, he looks like his character from Californication on Showtime. Like, he looks like he's cool now. He's a cool dude.
Yeah.
And it's just that's not – he should be a little more awkward than he is from what I remember him, you know, so long. Oh, and also, guys, I just want to make sure I get this right so no one calls us out in the podcast. But so episode 2 is now episode 4. And episode 4 is now episode 5.
So it's a Fox.
But
it's Fox. So
it's
Fox.
Literally like
Fox. It's Fox. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's out of order. But
if you're gonna do a show,
get back
Fox,
to the show report.
You gotta do that.
I mean, it's happened to Firefly. Yeah. No, but I really enjoyed it. I thought the second episode, like, I agree with Johnny. It felt like an old school X-Files. It kind of felt like an episode of 2. There's something weird that happens, and they got to go figure out what's going on. And I'm fine with like. I'd watch 6 to 8 episodes a season of Mulder and Scully solving weird crimes. I don't care if we get all the answers. I just kind of like seeing those two on screen together. So for me,
they played off of each other really well. And it's like, you know, obviously they fell right back into their characters. I like the things that they're acknowledging, like the amount of time that's passed. So like, you know, 9/11, the government watching us and everything else. And it's like, you know, the stuff that Fox was warning everybody about actually is happening now.
Yeah. I did like the cigarette smoking man smoking thing in his neck.
He shows up and I'm like, all right.
He died.
No.
Uh-huh.
Well, he did, but he didn't.
Yeah.
You know, it happens. The lone gunman are dead, but they're supposed to be
back. Cancer
too.
Man, no kidding. Yeah. All right. So X-Files, I'm going to watch it because I know you're going to want to talk about it.
Yeah.
But other...
It's only 4 more episodes.
I was going to say, I'm not forcing you to watch it.
I know, but although I will say this. I did watch all of Heroes Reborn.
I stopped after the first episode.
And honestly, like, if I could go and, like, have, like, that part of my brain removed, I would. It was
You know, this is fun, like, for the fact that you text me and you're like, when did they have a son?
Yeah.
And I'm like, Like when they mentioned, I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot about
the
son.
And is he an alien?
Well, they're not sure.
Because I was like confused by that too. Because was it like a dream sequence?
Scully had cancer and like, you know, she was healed, but they never explained like really why she was healed.
Okay.
And it's one of those things where he may or may not be half alien.
That's fair. All right. So the next show we have up is Agent Carter.
Oh, wait, sorry, Brian. I want to go back just one second. Sorry. I mean, this is your show, but I love that they kept the intro the same for X-Files. Like the faces, their badge IDs. I love that.
I really like the idea that they opened it up with Fox Presents and then like cut right into that. And it was like, oh, cool. And it's like, you know, having Skinner there at the beginning, too. It's like, you know, he wasn't always like an open as a cast member. And I'm like, you know, that's cool.
So, all right. So, yes, that was a nice little like throwback.
They couldn't have done anything else.
No. All right. So now, can I move on to Agent Carter, David? Is that okay?
Oh yeah, I'm sorry, Brian. I didn't mean to cut you. I ruined your segue. I ruined it.
Was there a segue?
No. I was just clumsily moving on to the next.
We're just going to move on to the next genre-based thing.
We hit a bullet point. We're on to the next.
Bullet
point. No, I'm kidding.
I've only watched the first. Two, but one episode, you know.
You watched the premiere.
Yeah, I haven't watched.
David, are you caught up on Agent Carter?
I am all caught up on Agent Peggy Carter.
Yeah, so I haven't watched this at all.
So without spoiling too much for you, I think Peggy Carter is the best written superhero character on all of television.
Well, I said that watching last year. I liked her in the movie.
This season with her out in L.A., David, I don't know how you feel about it being like an L.A. guy. But I just think it's so much fun the way she's acting out there.
Yeah, when you say best written, are you like including Daredevil and Jessica Jones?
Like, everybody I'm talking too? Just as character, not show. I just think the way they just nailed that character from how they've set her up from the MCU and she plays it well.
Yeah.
And like, nobody else could play that role. Like, I could see other people in Charlie Cox's role, and I could see other people in...
like Ben Affleck?
But I could see other people in Kristen Ritter's role, you know? I can't see anybody else playing Peggy.
Yeah, I didn't have a good comeback for that one because obviously they've never done that before.
But
I agree with you to a degree. I think Hayley Atwell, I agree, is fantastic. I've always loved her. She's just a great actress. I don't know. The show is sometimes a little too campy for me.
Yeah.
You know, a little bit. It's a little too, but I think that's the point. Mm-hmm. But I still enjoy it. I think the show is the best in my opinion, when Dominic Cooper is on as Howard Stark.
Yeah.
When Dominic Cooper's there, the show, and Johnny, you'll see, I don't think it's a big spoiler, but you know, he's coming back.
He's on this episode. Yeah. And the best part was not even like him showing up, but in the first episode, you know, I'm sitting there watching it with my girlfriend because it's actually one of the shows she'll watch with me. And we're sitting there watching it, and Carter's talking to Mrs. Jarvis in Howard's house. And she walks into the bedroom, and I'm like, look at Howard with his ego, with his own picture hanging up in one of his bedrooms, because he literally has a personal picture of him hanging up.
Or like she gets into his car and the one switch flips the seat back and she's like, there's a mirror up there. But I really like Agent Carter. I think it's a fun show. I think it's as close to an all ages show as we can get for this genre.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, it's just like, you know, David, I enjoy the campiness because, like, in contrast to S.H.I.E.L.D.'s so heavy, especially this last two seasons. It's a nice, like, kind of winter break. Like, I'm on vacation from S.H.I.E.L.D., but I'm still, like, in that world.
You're in the Marvel universe, but, you know, you're not stuck with Agent Coulson. But and
David doesn't watch S.H.I.E.L.D., so.
Really?
I gave it one season. I promise. I think I reviewed every episode over at Think Hero Pro on YouTube, and I stuck with it. I tried. I just couldn't. But now my friend Michael Medina, who actually works over at Collider, he does a recap show every week, and he said it's really good. So just turned it around. So
you gave up too soon.
Yeah, like literally.
I can't go back. It's too much.
With the Winter Soldier thing, when the Winter Soldier thing happened, that's when that show really took off.
I think unfortunately for S.H.I.E.L.D., they had to spin their wheels.
For six or seven episodes?
No, for a whole, like, because it wasn't until the second half of the season. Like, that show would have been better served being a mid-season replacement, doing 13 episodes, leading into the Winter Soldier, and having the story built up with all that. Because all the Deathlok stuff and the Centipede stuff, when we knew it was Hydra, was just kind of like a big middle finger to the fans. And that's probably what you had a problem with.
Yeah, and going back to Agent Carter, you know, I'm picking on the show's campus a little bit, but I do love that it's just 10 episodes. I think the first season was 8 episodes, so I like that we're kind of in and out. You know, I'm not a, you know, Brian, I'm not a huge fan of like the 22 episode, 23 episode season. I'm more of a fan of the really HBO FX.
Yeah, we're not fans of that either. So
I can deal with it on The Flash and Arrow. You know, they tell enough story that it's like, you know, you don't feel like it's 22 episodes until you start going back and watching it. And you're like, oh, wow, that was really that many episodes in a season.
Mm-hmm.
But like, most shows, you don't need 20, you know, 20 is a good limit at this point.
Like Supergirl's 20.
Yeah.
And you can tell from just kind of the story that they don't have those last 2 hours.
Yeah. But it's like there's too much of the filler episode stuff.
Yeah, I blame Smallville.
Like, I'm done with that.
I blame Smallville.
Oh, yeah, Smallville was a major.
Smallville was 7 episodes and then, you know what, 13 fillers.
Yeah, it was half a season of filler and half a season of show.
It was always more filler than show, especially that last season with Darkseid.
I was going to say it was more filler after John Schneider left than it was show because, you know, he was probably one of the best characters on the show.
Yeah.
All right. One thing I do about Agent Carter, like the episodes I watched, is the introduction of Mrs. Jarvis.
Yes.
I really like her. And her laughing at him chasing the flamingo was like the payoff of that episode.
The Devil in Pink.
Yeah, like, the Devil in
Pink. That's hilarious. I love seeing Jarvis with the Nemesis.
Yeah.
And then, David, I don't know if you caught it, but like Howard's house now has AI.
Oh, no, I didn't notice that. It was
Jarvis's voice.
Oh, no, it was the voice. So, no, I did see that because she's like, "Oh, terrifying." Yeah, that's right. I
forgot. But it's like nice, like
that's our Jarvis. Yeah, yeah.
So it would have been great if they could have got Paul Bettany's voice for that.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But anyway, all right. So Agent Carter's back. I think it picked up where it left off in a good way.
Yeah.
And there's another show that David and I watch on the CW called The 100 that picks up where it leaves off without missing a beat.
There was an article, I think, in USA Today that was talking – I didn't read the whole article, but it was talking about how it literally came back pretty well in, like, you know, some of the characters have changed a little bit.
Yeah. So, all right. Yeah. David, you want to talk about the CW shows, or are you sick and tired of talking about Flash?
I can always talk about more CW. So,
well, I mean, let's just start with
There's 100 checks underneath the door.
Yeah, I mean. let's
right, exactly.
Let's spend a couple minutes talking about the 100 and get Johnny so hooked he's got to go home and start watching on Netflix tonight.
Oh, this is hard. This is a tough sell. All right.
It's not really that tough of a sell. So for me, I watched the show because you told me for weeks to check this show out. And I started watching with, actually, you told me for a whole season and I ignored you. And then in the second season, you're like, you need to watch this. You need to watch 100. It's great. And I was, you know what it was, is I really liked the Tomorrow People. And yes, I recognize it wasn't a good show, but I really liked the Tomorrow People. And it replaced that, or it got picked up instead of.
Right.
And I was kind of just angry.
You were angry at CW.
I was like, damn you, CW, shaking my fist. But no, that being said, it is my favorite CW show.
Okay.
I agree. It's mine.
I thought you were going to say yours was Vampire Diaries, David. I really did. I thought that
You know, for a time it was. I just got to interview the cast at Comic-Con back in 2012, I think. Back when it was in its prime.
When we were at Think Hero, David and Kristen Nedepak did the Vampire Diaries recap shows.
Okay.
And they were so good at that. I've never, ever watched an episode of Vampire Diaries, but I would watch their recap shows.
Because you would get an idea of what the story was.
Well, there was that, but it was just watching them just be goofy about
a
silly vampire show.
But for this show, it feels, the 100, it feels more, I don't know how to say this, like adult. You know, because I mean, the CW still has a certain formula. It's appealing to a certain demographic. They're not trying to get our parents' generation. That's even though I know people who my dad's seen The Flash and he's watched Arrow before, but that's not what they're going for. So it's going to be more geared towards teen to, you know, 19 to 35, maybe max. And so it's going to have these love triangles and the kind of the soap opera nature of everything. But The 100, I feel like, tones it down more than Arrow and Flash. Mm-hmm. And it goes really dark into these really complex and unique relationships. Also explores different sexualities, like, you know, being homosexual or bisexual with girls and guys. And all these questions of morality. It's got a lot of Battlestar Galactica in it. I think it's like a Battlestar Galactica babies. If I can call it that.
You called it Battlestar Babies, and I always said it was Battlestar, like, on Earth. And I always liked your Battlestar Babies reference for that. But no.
I have to give credit. That's actually Maureen Ryan from Variety. She actually made that call. I stole it from her.
I've just always been attributing it to you. So, no, but the thing I like most about it is nobody's safe.
Yes.
Like they've killed main characters with zero qualms. They killed who I guess like one of the males who you would have probably considered one of the leads who was insanely likable.
So it is Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't have qualms about killing most of the main cast.
You know, the girl that plays Clark, is amazing. Like, you know, it's all these strong, like, female characters.
Yeah.
And I think, like, what's it? Is it the Bechdel test? Is that what it's called? Where they have that test to see how feminist the shows and movies are? Do you know what I'm talking about? So they have this, like I guess, equation where it's, like, women have a certain – I forget the name of the like, term for it. But, I mean, it's an interesting thing, and it makes sense. But it's, like, how much dialogue do women have on screen where they're not talking about a man and, you know, that kind of stuff. And, like, I think this show, like, blows that test out of the water because, like, the women on the show are all just strong. In one of the characters who started out, Octavia, she was this, like, spoiled little space kid, right?
Right.
And she's quickly become my favorite character of the show.
And they're killing her next week.
No.
Because you said that.
Yeah, probably. I do have a track record of my favorite characters getting killed
That's true.
But it's also got a little bit of Lord of the Flies with it, you know, especially in the first season.
It has that look to it. I mean, that definitely is like one of those things that stands out, like of what I've seen, is it does look like Lord of the Flies, like, you know, them trapped in the jungle pretty much.
So, but yeah, no, it's a great show. You should totally watch it.
Yeah.
You'd like it. It's right up your alley. All right. So I just wrote like two quick questions here. with The Flash, Arrow, and Legends of Tomorrow.
Okay.
One, have we hit a breaking point for the DC television U on the CW yet? And what were your thoughts on the mid-season premieres / season premiere of the three shows?
I don't think we've hit any breaking point.
Yeah.
I mean, after watching Legends of Tomorrow, I don't think so. Okay. I think that any of those, I think the thing is they're smart, like the guys who are working on these shows, smart enough to know that they can't do a show with the Atom. They can't do a show with Firestorm, but a show with all those characters in it, you can do it and still focus on a character.
Yeah.
And they did it pretty well for, you know, the only complaint I had, and, you know, it was one of those things where it's just a minor thing. ABC aired a 2-hour premiere for Agent Carter. Right. And I'm like, why couldn't CW just push back the 101 week and air the two-parter Legends of Tomorrow and just do it as a movie?
No, I agree. I think that would have been great.
One of two minor complaints about that episode or that show.
Yeah. David, what did you think of the premiere?
I thought it was solid. I think if I was going to rank the pilots, you know, which is hard because Arrow came first. Arrow took all the risk. Arrow was the front runner for all this. Well, I guess Smallville would have been the front runner. But in terms of like this whole new iteration with Mark Pedowitz as the head of the CW right now as a president, I think it took chance. It was fun. It was just a lot of fun. I liked it probably more than the Arrow pilot, you know, and that's maybe unfair to compare that, but maybe not as good as the Flash pilot from season one, but kind of right in between there, which it's still really enjoyable. Great action. I love the banter. It's like Ocean's 11. It's like Guardians of the Galaxy kind of all wrapped into one. And it's just a lot of fun to watch.
I'll agree like with pretty much everything you said right there. I think one thing I look forward to this show is Katie Lotz and Dominic Purcell.
Yeah.
Because they just seem to like kind of gravitate towards each other on screen. I mean, but even like with Wentworth Miller, I mean, I love him.
I like the idea that watching those three together, Wentworth does not have to really say anything. Like actions speak louder than words. Because when they're in the bar, it's like he's just standing there like just like watching everything. And literally it's Dominic and her like pretty much in the fight.
But the two of them, because they're both crazy.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was, I don't know. I just want to see more
one's
of that.
Died and one's almost died.
And I want to see more of that, but in like the non like sexual relationship and the brother sister kind of thing.
Well, yeah. Because, you know? I mean, and she pretty much, you know, said it right there in the bar. It's like, I'm not interested in you, but
your girlfriend over there. Hey there. How you doing?
She's more my type.
But no, I'm just glad Katie Lotz is back.
Yeah.
I felt like it would have been a giant waste if they would have killed her off on Arrow.
Well, and then bringing her back and just, like, not putting her into anything would have been, like, you know, to say that she was just hanging out at Nanda Parbat or whatever. It's like, no, she actually was good from the very moment she, like, showed up on the show. And it's like, you know, I told Brian, David, that I said – she's going to be one where she's going to screw with her own history and make it where she doesn't go on the boat with Oliver.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
Because we know alternate timelines exist. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. And that's what I was telling Brian. I said, they'll do it where she doesn't get on the boat and then comes back and like everything's different, but she doesn't like really know it because she doesn't realize she changed her own history.
I think it would be cool because they had a different actress that played Sarah and the pilot of Arrow to have that just like retcon that's just a different girl.
Right.
And maybe her name was Sarah as well, but it wasn't Sarah Lance.
Sarah Lance, right.
Would be an interesting way around that.
Right.
And also too, Brian, I want to get back to your question about have we hit the breaking point for, you know, DC TVU on the CW. And I think, I don't think with every show, I think I'm starting to see Arrow kind of start to, I don't know, just kind of level out. I feel like it's kind of hit its stride. I feel like it's gone about as getting about as good as it's going to get. I think season three was a little bit of a letdown. This season has been a better improvement, but season two is with Deathstroke was still the best with Manu Bennett on there. That was still the best.
That's a good question. Did you see where Stephen Amell said that he would like to see Deathstroke come back? Manu Bennett was posting it too. It was like, he's like, hey, Stephen Amell wants me to come back. And I'm like, hell yeah. It's like, Deathstroke was one of the coolest things on that show.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't know what his contract is with the Shannara Chronicles right now. Right. I mean, he's even that. Now, can we talk about last night's episode or is that spoiler territory? I mean, there's some stuff that happened. I don't know.
I haven't watched Arrow yet.
Johnny hasn't watched it.
Yeah, sorry.
We can talk a little bit about it without like spoiling anything.
Right.
There was one major death that I don't think is going to stick. David, if
you... See, I kind of think it do because I know I might have
you probably know more about it.
You have inside information, so. David?
But yeah, but I don't want to say it, Johnny. I want to spoil it for you, Johnny. I'll wait.
I did find myself rolling my eyes a lot watching this episode.
Okay, well, I'll ask a question. And if you have to spoil it, spoil it. Does the death that happened tie to the graveyard?
No.
Okay. So, because we've been bouncing back and forth with Brian on text about who I think's in the grave.
I think it's Ezra Bridger.
See, here we go with the Ezra Bridger thing again.
I love how every theory is about Ezra. Ezra is the dad of every. Ezra's everything.
Ezra is the real dad of Oliver Queen.
I'm using Ezra Bridger as just my answer.
Bridger is Zoom.
Yeah. He is.
Ezra Bridger, he's everything.
You can go fast. Anyway. Now,
Bridger was on the grassy
knoll. It was a death that was a surprise.
Okay.
But not tied to that.
Right.
But
getting back to that, I text Brian the other day and I said, I think I know who's in the grave. David, who do you think's in the grave?
I was a guest on the Arrow recap show on Collider last week. And my theory, I'm pretty sure I said it was Laurel. Yeah, it was Laurel.
Brian, who do you think it is?
I think it's Laurel, and I'm hoping – this is my theory. I'm thinking it's Laurel because I think that Nyssa is going to come back and take her place on the team and be a permanent member of the team.
Ah, okay.
Okay, so I think it's Felicity's mom because I don't think Arrow's brave enough to actually kill anybody, and that's the only person that, like, outside of who Johnny thinks it is, I think Felicity would have that reaction about.
So mine is Diggle.
Okay.
And I told Brian, I said –
Oh, no, not Diggle.
I think it's Diggle, and I think it's Diggle because of the whole Felicity and Oliver reaction, and Flash has ties to Diggle because Diggle's obviously helped him in the past on a few different things, and I think it's Diggle's brother that kills him. I think that Oliver is not going to kill Damian Darkly. He says, I'm going to kill somebody, but I think it's Diggle's brother. And obviously, if I'm looking at Brian right, Diggle's brother died last night.
No. I think that
Diggle is more Diggle's brother's more of a plant than anybody knows. Like Dark planted him in there real good.
Now I don't think Arrow has the stones to really kill off a major character.
But they can bring him back. I mean, they have the Lazarus Pit.
Yeah,
they can bring anybody back.
But wait, wasn't the Lazarus Pit contaminated though? Didn't somebody contaminate it?
But there's more around the world. You know there are.
Oh, that's right.
If you're a comic book fan, there's more than one Lazarus Pit in the world.
But no, I think it's
one of them's on that island.
I wanted
to be Felicity's mom. The only other person that I thought of, and I don't have any reason to think it, is Laurel's dad.
Yeah.
Because,
Felicity might have that because she's close with him.
So it's
David,
go ahead.
Oh, no, sorry, guys. I didn't mean to cut you off. I was just going to, I hope they, I don't know, like I said, because the CW sometimes you never know what they're going to do, but I really hope that they keep Felicity in the wheelchair. I think that's interesting. I don't think they need to heal her. I mean, look at, like, I know this is maybe a bad example. So let's look at something like How to Train Your Dragon. And look at what's the kid's name?
Hiccup.
Baruchel. Yeah, Hiccup. Hiccup he's got a limp. He has
a peg leg.
A peg leg. And they haven't healed him. I mean, he made an invention that helps him function better, but he's still injured. He'll live with that scar for the rest of his life. That's a kid's movie. So I think if this is Arrow, they need to if she's gonna be hurt, let her stay hurt. Let her be paralyzed. Don't have to heal her to make it, everybody happy.
I like the idea of, her being in the wheelchair. It's kind of like Oracle,
Right.
I've always said she's kind of the Oracle character.
I think she needs a Professor X style, floating wheelchair.
Oh,
though.
Yeah.
Wow. But, that would be awesome.
And that would be cool because you could tie that to Legends of Tomorrow and have that where Rip Hunter gives her that or something.
Where Brandon Routh comes back and hooks her up.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, exactly.
David, I kind of feel the same way that you do about Arrow, where I think its best days are probably behind it. One thing I think the problem is Felicity is, the history of Oliver Queen is, it's him and Laurel and Dinah or, Black Canary, if you will. Yeah. And they've written themselves into this corner. And David, you and I talked about this the other day. They made Laurel so unlikable that if they ever tried to have that love triangle or get the two of them back together, it wouldn't work because nobody likes that character.
Right. It'll be Sarah. If it was somebody else besides Felicity, It would be Sarah.
Yeah.
I think would be more than likely.
Anyway, I don't know, Dave, what do you think?
I don't know. I think you got a point there, but I think Laurel, you can tell they're kind of keeping her off to the side a little bit. You know, she comes in, does a little scream, you know, and I don't want to be, I feel like, you know, a lot of us, we all kind of gang up on Laurel, and I actually don't, you know, don't mind her. I think she's gotten better, but I think the way she earned the stripes of becoming Black Canary just wasn't as impressive as Sarah, as her sister. Right. I mean, her sister's just the ultimate badass. I mean, she trained with League of Assassins. She's always going to be the better fighter. She's always going to be the better warrior because of how she came up and who she trained under. So I think in our minds, we just all prefer Sarah because she's such a cool character. Whereas she's Laurel, you know, she had her, what was that whole season where she had like her drinking and drug problem? She had to go to like AA meetings and all that. Yeah. It's like, oh,
that's
man.
That's when she actually became stronger and became the fighter.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, it took.
And she trained with Wildcat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. He's gone. Where's Wildcat?
Is he on a show?
I think he has a new, he has a new show. Okay. Yeah. I think you're right.
That makes sense.
All right. So The Flash. We didn't really talk about The Flash.
And I've watched this week's Flash.
Okay, so good.
We're okay with that.
And David, did you watch this week's Flash?
I did.
That was a joke. You do the afters.
I watched it and I thought you were being like, wait a minute, you know I review it every week. Come on, Brian.
With this whole thing with The Flash and the DC TVU, Gideon is all over the place.
So, yeah. So I want to know why they don't use Gideon.
So Gideon's just an app, and anybody can use the app.
Why don't they use Gideon all the time on The Flash?
Yeah.
Like, they haven't, like, talked to her at all. Like, they have that time vault that can go in there.
Yeah.
Like, that's where she lives. Mm-hmm. You know, is Marina Bacchina that busy on Gotham? Or,
well, and it's a different voice on...
Yeah, it was a different one this time, so... Or well, on Legends of Tomorrow.
Legends of Tomorrow, yeah.
But that's even further in the future.
Well, and my whole thing with that is, and it was kind of a complaint.
I mean, I changed my story to be a different voice.
Well, so. You know, that was a small complaint because the ship is Wave Rider.
Right.
And I was hoping that the ship would be, like, Wave Rider would be the person talking.
Yeah.
And it would be a guy, you know, like, you know, but that's just a minor.
David, how familiar are you with the Time Masters and Rip Hunter?
I am not as familiar, but I was talking to you on the phone a few days ago, Brian. You were explaining to me about the whole origin. I listened to your guys' podcast last week about the whole Doctor Who controversy and talking about how that character was actually before Doctor Who was. 1959, I think you were saying. So. I'm not as familiar, but I want to ask you a little bit off topic question about The Flash.
So sorry.
We learned we have time.
We were talking about The Flash and
we learned
to talk about them all.
Yeah. And,
right. it's all CW. It's all CW.
Right.
So we're learning about Eobard Thawne, and we're learning that the Flash is around 100 years plus. So in the comic books, is he like Wolverine in terms of aging or not that good of aging? Because it sounds like he's going to be around for a long time.
It's literally the legend of the Flash pretty much is around because the Flash becomes one of the greatest heroes in the universe. And Eobard Thawne was a fanboy of Barry Allen.
So there was the Flash. He doesn't
know, like, they don't know who was the Flash. In the future, they don't know who the Flash was. But Eobard was a fan. The Flash Museum actually, still exists 100 years later. And like he explained in the episode, he just started getting mad at him.
Mm-hmm.
And so he decided, I'm going to be the reverse.
And I mean, like, this was really interesting because it was literally the reverse Flash's origin about why he ended up going even further back.
Yeah.
You know,
the whole time, the whole thing where he's saying, I know where you live now.
Yeah.
You know,
I know what time period you are. I feel like this was the most.
Well, hopefully we'll find out the problem.
Yeah.
Remember last season, it was a little disappointing at the end when, it's not Harrison Wells, but Eobard Thawne in Harrison Wells' body was talking about Barry asked him, he said, hey, why are we enemies? And he said, oh, don't worry about it. It's not important. So we actually never got that answer.
Well, we got that. Yeah. This week. I felt like this was kind of the most CW this show's been so far.
Really?
With Barry as whiny as he was and the whole thing with him and Patty. And, you know, and then her calling him and him showing up as the, Peace Biv. That's what you guys call her on the After Flash.
Well, that literally was like, you know, just the whole get rid of her.
Yeah.
Because she started out as kind of a cool character, but like just slowly slided down.
She was great. And then they made her like... Joey Porter or whatever her name was on Dawson's Creek, where she was just a whiny mess.
What they did is they took a character, you guys, you know, talking about strong female characters. She was going to go pursue her career, get her master's degree, you know, go get her CSI training, whatever that is going to be. and she's going to leave and do that. Then she goes to him and be like, hey, if you tell me who you are, then I'll stay.
Yeah.
Like, that makes her look weak. It's like, you have this great, strong character who's going to pursue her career, do what she wants to do, forget a man. I can do what I want, be what I want. And then she's like, oh, but if you tell me, I'll stay. And then she starts whining. And then she does that stupid trick at the end.
Yeah.
To get him to come on the train. And I was like, come.
Just to confirm that you are who you are.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I love Peace. I love Patty Spivot.
This is the girl who sees a 8 foot tall man shark. And the first thing she does is whip out her
gun and shoot him.
Her police issue sidearm and start.
She is shoot first. Yeah. She is shoot first. She would be in court right now in one of those police cases that's going on right now because she shoots first, ask questions later. She's tough.
Yeah. My whole thing with her was it literally started feeling like she was a limited character.
Yeah.
And when the weather wizard came on, I'm like, you're done. You're done. You may as well just leave.
You know, I mean, even in that case, she had the foresight to bring the anti-flash gear.
Yeah.
So,
which is something
straight out of Jumper.
It just was one of those things where it's like, you know, they took a character.
Oh, excellent Hayden Christensen movie. Excellent Hayden Christensen movie.
Yeah, it is.
Excellent.
I like Jumper.
Yeah, I just watched it. Jumper's good. Recently. I forgot I owned it. I got this.
It was $4.99 on iTunes over Christmas break. I bought it. I watched it like three times. Another good Hayden Christensen movie, Takers.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
And
Okay, sorry. While we're on the topic of DC, I want to talk. You guys aren't watching Supergirl.
Right? I haven't watched.
I haven't watched this week's yet.
Yeah, I don't think I've watched the last 2 weeks.
I don't want to. Okay, it's good.
I didn't watch this week's story yet, but I love Hank Henshaw as
he's the Martian Manhunter. Yeah,
I thought that was. And I'm excited to see the White Martian.
They go more into that. Yeah, it's good.
This week was the White Martian episode, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't watched it.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
The Kidbot 07 and I watched that together, and she has had some school issues this week with not getting homework and schoolwork done in time, where she's had to bring stuff home.
Uh-oh.
So she hasn't been allowed to watch it yet, and I typically watch it with her. So
mine's just work. Work gets in the way of watching stuff.
Of all three, Flash is my favorite.
Okay.
Of all three of the DC shows.
See, I can't judge of Legends of Tomorrow yet just because it's only been one
episode. I'm even going to go based off of one episode. And, like, that's how much I like The Flash.
Well, I'm really looking, obviously we're looking forward to things on The Flash with revealing who Zoom is. Mm-hmm. I think it's Barry Allen from Earth 2. I think next week might build on that.
But I did like the Hunter Zolomon thing.
Oh, yeah, that was awesome. That was awesome.
So that was cool.
That was really, really cool. There was just a bunch of like fun little like one-liners.
Well, it's one of those things where it's like it could happen.
Yeah,
it could happen down the line that he becomes a part of that cast if Jay Garrick goes back to Earth 2, and they close the portals.
And with Wally West and their relationship in the comic,
how awesome would it be if and they're not brave enough to do this, but how awesome would it be if like the end of this season Jay Garrick goes back to Earth 2, he has a Speed Force and that back. Next season, it starts on Earth 2. And it's literally the first half of that season will be Jay Garrick Flash. And, they don't say anything about
they
it.
They don't have the stones to do that.
Yeah, I know they don't. So. But it would be so fun to just see,
Yeah, that would be cool.
A series where you know these characters, but they're not these characters. Because I really hope that, what's his name? Jamie Sheridan, that played Robert Queen.
Oh, yeah.
I hope that Robert Queen shows up on Arrow as... from Earth 2 as...
Or even Legends of Tomorrow.
Yeah, as Green Arrow.
But,
I just think that would be a fun, thing.
Sorry. Go ahead, Dave.
Go ahead, David.
Oh, Johnny, I have a question, Johnny, because I always ask Brian this. These are things that just keep me up at night. I can't sleep a lot of times during the week, so I have questions about Flash. I have these questions. So, Jay Garrick... Where is he staying? Does he have like an apartment? Because what he'll do is he'll just show up, or Kayla will be like, "Hey, do you want to go have coffee with me?" Like, where? Like, how does he pay for things? Does his Visa card work in Earth 2? Is it the same as Earth 1?
That's like one of those things.
How does this work?
He's living in the basement of Star Labs. He has to be living like down where.
Considering anybody can get in and out of Star Labs with no credentials and.
Well, there's no security guard on that place. And I'm like, the one thing that you would hire is a security guard.
There's only four people that work there.
Yeah, but
do they have a janitor staff? Who's cleaning that place? Who's cleaning the toilets? Who's refilling the toilet paper?
I don't know.
Come on.
It's one of those things where if you came to Cincinnati, I'll show you what Star Labs looks like because there's a mall here that literally is what Star Labs would be. Forest Fair.
Oh yeah,
Forest Fair would be what Star Labs.
We have them all. It's essentially
it's empty. Deserted. I mean, there's like
there's holes in the ceiling.
There's a $2 movie theater there, and
there's an arcade bar.
An arcade bar, a $2 theater, and one other store. Oh, Kohl's is hooked to it, and Bass Pro is on the other side, but they've blocked off everything to get to
the store. And they're moving that.
Right, so. But it's literally like you would imagine, and I've sat there and gone, Star Labs is kind of Fair Mall is. There's nobody there. Half the toilets don't work. Yeah. There's areas that you don't just walk into because the lights don't work.
Yeah, David's parents moved to Columbus, so when he comes...
Oh, yeah, yeah. You'll have to just come down here and just walk in, and you'll walk back out.
Just don't touch Star anything. Labs.
I tell you what, if you're in Columbus and you come down here, we'll go there, and we'll just walk through there real fast and say, this is Star Labs.
That's cool. I'm down.
I think this episode, like, I think this pushed certain parts of the story forward.
Yeah.
It was really interesting with Sisko going on Marty McFly.
Yeah.
And phasing blood, in and out of time.
But that was the whole thing where, you know, Harrison says there's consequences, you know, and Harrison's like, you got to send them back, but he's going to kill me, you know, kill Earth One me. But it's like, you know, you got to send them back. It's going to happen. You can't. It's one of those things where, like on Doctor Who, there are fixed points in the timeline and you can't mess with them.
Yeah, Barry's mom being one of them.
Rip Hunter says it too. I mean,
and I think now we have a little backstory as to why when Barry went back in time in season one and the future like version of him waved him off. Now we kind of understand.
Yeah, because you'd screw with the timeline. Yeah, I love
Don't do Flash. It.
I love the Flash. I've loved the Flash as a kid.
It's been one of my favorite characters of all time.
It's just one of those things where I'm like, you know, I'm curious to see what they do with Wally West.
See, I feel like
he's been kind of weak. He's a little bit weak, I think.
He's so like far. Michael B. Jordan's Johnny Storm. Like literally, he's like the outsider, loner, black kid who
he is fast and drag racing.
Because I mean, that's what Johnny didn't see Fanforestic yet, so like he doesn't like get the joke when I say he was drag racing and everything,
cars and all that.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same character.
The thing I think that's going to help that character is when they kill their mom, when they kill, you know,
when she's finally gone,
when she's finally dead, and he has to come live with Joe because he's not going to be able to just live on his own. I think we're going to see more of a, you know, character because you have
they need to start building the relationship between him and Barry.
That would be cool.
Like that, I think.
I think that's gonna work. Like, is he gonna become a speedster? Do you think if he becomes a speedster, is he gonna do what Firestorm and them do and go to Pittsburgh, or is he gonna stay on the show and help out when he can? I think that's gonna work.
Then a relationship between
Keystone City and
Flash and Kid Flash. I mean, you know, it's gonna be that where Flash is gonna have somebody that knows what you know what it's like to be that, and somebody that the Flash is gonna be able to teach.
Yeah,
and you know, there's so much they can do with that character because, I mean, the newspaper said red skies happen, the crisis happens, and it's like they're gonna have to acknowledge that on the show eventually.
I like that kid playing him. I think he's done a good job with what he's been given.
I want to see him in that blue and white suit that they've had
in the current one.
Yeah, I think that would be kind of a cool offset to the dark red that I don't really like that much. But
yeah,
that's the style.
Yeah,
it's the style of the day. I did like the Sisko design, the white canary suit.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was kind of cool.
That was pretty cool. I enjoy all three shows so far. You know, I'm excited to watch Legends of Tomorrow. Like, this is Thursday when we're recording, as usual. So, you know, I'll watch it tomorrow morning.
Well, now I'm going to have to watch David's After Flash.
Yeah.
You know, the Collider review.
You gotta, every week. I don't watch the Flash one every week just because it's like 45 minutes.
And, oh, okay.
You know, who has that kind of time? But it gets into my Highlander reruns.
Only 40,000 viewers a week.
Did you hear? You're getting into his Highlander reruns.
But I watch it most of the time. But their Star Wars Rebels one. I religiously watch.
Oh, okay.
Like I typically try and get to it. Like,
and I did watch that last night too.
So let's hop into Rebels.
Yeah.
So you know, I mean, obviously you just talked about this last night with your partner, John Campia. And I was missing, what's Christian's last name?
Christian Harloff. Yeah, he was still at Sundance.
He's my favorite character on the Star Wars
After Rebels.
Yeah, After Rebels show. Sorry, David.
David, we're naming your show now. After Flash and After Rebels.
No, Christian's my favorite character for sure. So.
Fanboy.
Yeah, totally. You know, I feel like the season got off to really good, or the second part of the season got off to a really good start with that trailer.
Yeah.
You know, I tweeted.
I want to know who does their trailers
because they need to do every trailer.
Their trailers are like, why aren't you doing the Star Wars movie trailers? Yeah. It's whoever's doing these trailers should be doing the Star Wars movie trailers.
We need to get the Star Wars content to be as good as what the animated stuff is.
Well, that's true too. I want them to go back and do trailers for all the Clone Wars now.
But no, I mean, when I watched that, I tweeted like, "Hey, if this were all we were going to get for season two is this 4-minute trailer, I'm good." Yeah. Like, it was that awesome.
Like, if they would have said, we're not coming back till 2017.
But
you would have been up in arms, but you wouldn't have been up in arms as much.
Yeah. So, I mean, David, you enjoyed the trailer.
I did. I know Filoni came out. He said, look, there's going to be a trailer coming out. He warned basically the fans that there's going to be a little spoiler heavy. I have a feeling that Filoni probably didn't want to reveal this much.
Yeah,
I think he gave a warning to the fans on Twitter, but I'm happy they did because it looked incredible. Mm-hmm. There's so much cool stuff. I think every episode I'm expecting all those scenes to happen. I know we're gonna have to wait a little bit to see all that. But it was, I think next week we're getting some stuff with Zeb and Zeb's origin story, so that, which is fine. I think this season's got, or this, sorry, this second half has gone off to a good start. The first episode, Princess Leia, was solid. This one was even better. And I mean, look what's coming. I mean, we're going to get the lightsaber. We have Sith holocrons showing up. It looks like they're going to go to a Sith temple because you hear Ahsoka saying, if you want to, you know, fight your enemy better, you need to understand them. So they're going to go to these temples. I hope they go to Korriban or Moribon, whatever it's called now. And just
we got Ezra stuff. And then we have the, you know, Seth becomes Supreme Leader Snoke.
right. We're gonna see Ezra's love interest, who's gonna be Rey's mom. Yep. And then to the old master. Call him the old master. I can't wait to see Darth Maul as the teacher. That's gonna be awesome.
I wonder who he's gonna be teaching.
Oh, and also one more thing.
Yeah.
Who do you think the guys are with the yellow lightsabers? Are they like guardians of the Force? You think they're guardians of one of the temples? Maybe.
They are like guardians. Them. They were in the Jedi Temple, like on Coruscant. The Jedi Temple had guards out front, and those are the guards. Like, they literally wore those suits with those masks. So
if
they
were Jedi, the Clone Wars,
they were Jedi.
At Ahsoka's trial, they had them.
Yeah, they were
leading them.
So.
With the gold.
Do you think they're like not fully trained Jedi, but do you think they're more like Jedi Inquisitors, like the Jedi version of an Inquisitor?
I'm curious to see if that's a vision. I think that the thing that's Kanan having a vision, because when they show Yoda, I think that they're in the temple and everybody is having a different vision, because I think that's where the whole thing with Anakin saying, you don't know what happened to me after you left.
Yeah.
And I think that's Ahsoka's vision.
Yeah.
And I think that Kanan's having a vision about the Jedi guards.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that Ezra is talking to Yoda again, which, you know, that's literally like going to be an episode every year, talking with Yoda.
I'm just excited to see Ezra hook up with Darth Maul and start the First Order.
Maybe Darth Maul's Snoke.
everything's been shaved off.
Like,
he's like Hellboy with the
you know how many power people sander. Would be mad if like you tied in episode one to these
ones.
Oh, Snoke Darth Maul. Just so you know,
Snoke's Jar Jar Binks without the ears. That's why he's all funky looking. I love this. Hera is one of my favorite characters on the show.
Yeah.
I actually thought she was in peril there for a minute.
Oh, you thought she?
I really
did.
Like,
get a dead character.
It's like, man, they're gonna kill off another one of my favorite characters. Crash down, and
wow,
dude, Crash down was great.
Him. Yeah.
So, like, the only way Battlestar would have ever been ruined for me is if they would have killed Hilo.
Yeah.
So, but and they tried.
But you get Sam Witwer on Star Wars all the time. Yeah. I mean, you know.
So sorry, we're ranting.
What, 10 different stormtroopers in Force Awakens?
But no, this was great to see Sabine with actual Mandalorians.
And to announce who she was,
and the big reveal that she is a Vesla.
Yeah.
Now, Johnny had an interesting thought that Bo-Katan is her mom.
Bo-Katan's her mom and Prey Vizsla's her father. Bo-Katan was pregnant with her when she revealed that, you know, she was part of the royal family when Satine died. That's the whole thing, is the names are so close together. I'm like, yeah, you know, it just would be one of those things where it would kind of make sense that, you
know. Did we ever learn, like, was Katan Sabine's last name?
They didn't reveal everything. No. Obviously, they weren't going to do that, but they gave enough of the information with, you know,
Prey Vizsla. Want to ask a lot of questions.
Then it's like, you're like, and for the Mandalorians to react the way they did toward her, like, you're a traitor.
Yeah, the Death Watch.
Yeah, the Death Watch are traitors. And it's like, you know, that was a cool reaction to have the Mandalorians do that.
Yeah. Yeah. I liked pretty much everything about this. You know, I like the badass that Kanan's turning into.
Yeah.
But
showing, I mean,
just getting more and more comfortable, like, with the
bold
Force.
Enough now that he doesn't care that people know he's a Jedi.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, this guy has a lightsaber and he'll whip it out and use it. I mean, when he took down the AT-AT, it was like,
which was great because he was in the full stormtrooper gear.
Yeah.
With the running with the saber and then just took it out. But why didn't he take the other one out?
You know, because somebody else had to. Because
Jedis are just half measures.
Well, we have.
Oh, and also too, the introduction of a great new character in Fen Rao, who I know we haven't seen the last of.
No.
Also, he was in the. He's in the issue, Kanan number 10, that just came out on Wednesday.
If you get a chance to read that, you'll be able
to see him in there, which is kind of cool. Also, too, I love the line when Sabine was talking to Kanan, being like, hey, you know, not all of us can, you know, believe all this Jedi stuff and all these, like, you know, philosophies that you have. And he's like, that's why we're at war.
Yeah, literally. That's why we're at war. That's why there's no peace in the galaxy.
How cool is that? Oh, yeah. Well, like, how cool is the opening fight scene?
Yeah.
Well, if we negotiate, we might actually be able to do something, you know?
Right.
It's really, like, I mean, Freddie Prinze is doing a really good job. You can't even tell that it's...
No, I didn't even know it was him for, like, you know, 3 or 4 episodes.
And it's...
Because I didn't bother.
Kevin McKidd played Fen Rao. I had to pause the credits because I was like,
Rome,
that Rome. Rome. And I remember him on a show called Journeyman that NBC ran for 1 year. And it's like, dude, it's like, okay, he'll be back. They don't cast people one off like that and not bring him back.
No, I think.
Oh, don't forget Kevin McKidd. Remember, Kevin McKidd was also in Flashpoint. He played, he was Thomas Wayne in the Flashpoint movie.
Yeah. Paradox.
I just watched Batman Bad Blood today.
How is it?
It's good. This whole, like, trilogy, like, kind of tie-in building on movie after movie is pretty cool. Batwing was actually really, really awesome. So
cool.
But as far as Rebels goes, I think season 2 came back really strong with the Siege of Lothal. Is that what it was? What was the name of the movie?
A Princess on Lothal.
No. I'm saying at the beginning of season 2. Oh,
Siege of Lothal.
Yeah. And then
the movie teaser that Darth Vader shows up in. And we're like, a few months.
I feel like it got off to this great start that picked up where season 1 left off.
I'm looking forward to Vader coming back. I mean, I'm looking forward to him actually interacting with the Inquisitors because we haven't seen much of that. So,
and there's a third Inquisitor that was in that preview that we haven't met.
You know,
fifth brother, seventh sister.
So 32nd uncle.
And also, I also think that the numbers are rankings because when I think he was like, you know, how dare you challenge me or something like that. So I think fifth brother is ahead of seventh sister. It must be ranked. And,
my whole thing was
Inquisitor to 10 or something.
I was hoping that they were going to do it where one of them was the Emperor's Inquisitor and the other was Vader's Inquisitor, and those two would be like at odds continuously. I was really hoping that's the way they were going.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah, because I mean, that's always been a storyline that's ran through, you know, all the way back to the early days of Star Wars, where, you know, Vader and the Emperor are trying to kill each other so, you know, they could get an apprentice and be the ruler of the galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like that would have been cool if that's the way they were writing the Inquisitors.
And maybe they will at some point.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we don't know a whole lot about them. So, no, it's just, I think that trailer gave us enough, like, probably more than it should have, but, like, a lot to get us excited to want to keep tuning
in. It's one of those things where, and you know, I'm one of those guys that don't delve deep into it. I'll watch it and it entertains me. But like, you're the one that told me that Darth Maul was the old master. And I'm like, oh.
David told me via YouTube.
Oh, see, so. There you go. And it's like one of those things where I'm like, oh, okay. I didn't look into that. So.
Just pass it along.
Yeah, I like to learn things from David when I tell you about it.
You tell me about so now I'm just going to go straight to David.
That's fine, man.
Straight to the source and be like, dude.
That's right.
David already told me now, Johnny.
So you can just start using Twitter more. He's at GriffinDE and, you know, just get it going. So you could leave comments on the Collider YouTube channel.
Oh, okay.
But
Hold, if you leave a comment, don't be like Brian and sucking up to Christian. Make sure you say David is the greatest host on Collider.
I don't leave comments. I'm not an internet troll. So.
Okay. So, all right.
No, I'm kidding. Now I am. I'm going to go on and leave a comment.
I'm going to be the one that's like, David is so awesome.
I'm going to be like, Christian is greater than Collider David. If Christian's not on, I'm not watching. So.
It's like, David, if you're going to San Diego next year, you know, I'll come out and carry your bags for you. Yeah.
Christian quits, we riot.
Christian quits, we riot. Christian dies, we riot.
Anyway, I think I was really worried about this series because I had such an affinity for the Clone Wars cartoon.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm really happy with it.
Yeah.
Like, I look forward to watching it every
day. So Hera's your favorite character?
She's one of my favorites.
Who else?
Ezra's my favorite character. I like Ezra.
Do you have any favorites?
Probably Kanan. Probably Kanan's my favorite. Yeah, I like Kanan. I want to learn more about Sabine. Yeah. I feel like even though we had her introduction this week, she's like, "Oh, I'm from blah 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 blah." It was really quick. It was
still all that minutes, backstory. You know, it was fast. She was working with her friend,
and when she was in the Imperial Academy, she's very much the Han Solo character of this story.
I'm Zeb and Chopper's
an a-hole.
Well,
man.
And what's his name? That's the Imperial sideburns guy.
Oh, Kallus.
I really like Kallus. I do like Kallus because I think he's actually a really good.
Yeah,
like,
he's a good villain.
Bad guy.
But now,
what's crazy about Kallus is that's David. That's David Owalu. Yeah, the guy who played Martin Luther King. You know, I mean, he's a great actor. He's a really good actor.
What, Martin Luther King Jr.?
Yeah,
He was in the one with Forrest Whitaker.
He's been
in a lot of stuff.
Yeah, he's a good actor. He's also in he's been in a lot of stuff.
But it's Ezra's my favorite because then I can just keep saying like random theories that Ezra's the answer to it for the new continuity.
Like Chopper was Chopper took over R2-D2's programming in Force Awakens, and that's why he was a little more gruff.
Man, Chopper's great and just like he's like David, you read the Star Wars comics, right? The current ones. So like BT.
Yeah.
Like he's like BT. He doesn't care if the humans live or die.
Yeah. So. Like, I forgot to turn on that. to turn that button.
I liked with the black hole generator thing, how he was like, wait for it. And Ezra's like, what do you mean wait for it?
Yeah.
You know? Like he's got a sense of just the dramatic.
Yeah.
So
he's not taking anybody's shit, that's for sure.
All right, so the other like star type of a show, Trek, we're in the 50th year. David, are you a fan of the Star Trek? Are you a Trekkie? Trekker? Is it Trekkie or Trekker?
I'm
which one's derogatory?
Trekkie, I Trekker's think
the proper term.
Oh, that's a good point.
One's derogatory and one's like,
I'm one where I just say I'm a Star Trek fan.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah,
so I like the Star Trek.
I'm a fan of Star Trek. What do you call a Star Wars fan except the Star Wars fan? There's nothing like, I'm a warrior, you know? Yeah, there's nothing there.
Yeah.
You're either light side or dark side.
Yeah.
So, like, Star Trek should be you're either Federation or Klingon. It shouldn't be, like,
I'm
Trekkie
Empire.
Or Trekker.
I'm Romulan Empire.
Romulan Empire?
So.
Fair enough.
Yeah, so when you guys, speaking of Star Trek, when you guys watch Supergirl, there's a little bit of Martian speak going on, and it sounds a lot like Klingon. I don't know what you guys think when you actually listen.
So I have to be able to like understand Klingon. What you're saying.
Johnny won't have to read any subtitles.
There's subtitles there.
It's like Death
Rack. Right.
Yeah.
You know, it's all just the same, just guttural.
What, the hawk knock wak nah, you know, that type of stuff?
Wait, was that actual Klingon?
No, it was not.
Good.
The only Klingon I actually
know is Shakespeare.
Tok Bak, Tok Bay. you know, to be or not to be, because that's the one that like stands out.
I want
to
cry right now.
Yeah.
I'm so sad for you.
Kapla.
Is that a curse word?
Success.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, okay. So they announced that.
That's all right, John. You're multilingual.
Yeah, you know. Hey, I speak a little Spanish.
You should put that on. You should put that on your resume.
You speak Klingon. I speak Klingon.
Conversational Klingon.
Klingon, Spanish, English.
Klingon, Spanish, and a little Russian.
I speak conversational Dothraki.
There you go.
Anyway, so no, the 15th anniversary is here. We've been talking about it all month.
Yeah.
They're actually doing a 15th anniversary con in New York City.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool.
Yeah, because the first Star Trek convention was held in New York City.
Okay.
I actually wrote it down. It was January 21st through the 23rd in 72. It was like the one that they actually called the first official Star Trek convention. So people were like, oh, cool. They're coming back for this, you know, thing, even though there's going to be massive 50th anniversary conventions all over the U.S.
But so. This one's being put on by Reed Pop, verified one. Yeah.
This is and the creation ones are verified too. But like Reed Pop, who does New York Comic Con,
and they
does
C2E2,
and they're in San Diego. This is like, I think, their first Star Trek convention.
Okay, cool.
So, and everybody's like, well, who are they bringing and what's going on? You know, obviously there hasn't been any announcements of, you know, Shatner's going to be there because
they need to do a panel with like every red shirt that was killed,
still alive.
That's still alive, and like have photo opportunities of like them in various states of being killed.
Yeah.
That would be fun.
Or just have them all in one picture together.
Yeah, and, that would be really cool to see.
Yeah, they haven't announced like
no, but I'm totally sold on Star Wars.
Yeah, are you gonna?
Oh, no, I was saying.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I'm not gonna go. I'm not gonna go to New York. But I've been a Star. You asking me earlier if I was a Star Trek fan. I am a Star Trek fan. Probably more into the Star Wars mythos than I am Star Trek. But ever since I was little, because I was born. I was born in like 84. So what was TNG like 87 to 93 or something like that. So when I was, you know, 5 or so, 6 years old in the early 90s, I was watching those TNG episodes with my dad, watched all of Deep Space Nine, seen Voyager and even Enterprise.
Series.
Yeah.
I liked it. Enterprise.
I mean, I'm so in it. Yeah. I'm in it so much that I am going to pay the extra $6 a month that CBS is going to charge you, even though I do already pay a DirecTV bill to watch the new show because I want to see it. So I'm going to pay CBS my money, even though I don't want to, but I'm going to.
Oh, use your connections in LA and get your screener copies.
I don't want to talk. CBS is tough. CBS is, it's weird. So as a critic, this is what I do as a critic. I'll write into Stars or Showtime or any of the networks and be like, hey, I'm David Griffin. I write for Screen Rant. Here's a link to some of my articles if you want to check out my credentials. I need the screeners for – I wrote Stars for Black Sails. The wonderful people at Stars, the PR people there, respond to me within 30 minutes. They give me my password, everything I need. I'm in. CBS, I can't get into those people. Yeah. I've never been able to get into CBS. I've even heard my editors have – I don't know what their deal is. I mean, I don't have anything against CBS, but it's really hard to – get
it's
into
the
their,
Viacom family.
Good graces,
they make it hard for people to watch their shows online.
I think the problem is that really Viacom doesn't like Viacom hasn't loosened their grip on Paramount or CBS.
It's they're so bitter over Blockbuster going out of business for digital streaming that
they're bitter about a lot of things. I mean, you know, losing the Marvel movies and.
Which is crazy because CBS is the number one watched network on television. Like they should be giving out stuff.
Yeah,
time,
like how important is that anymore?
It's not as important.
You know,
it's not.
I watch everything on Hulu.
I mean, the thing is when award shows have like, you know, every cable network person nominated and no regular network, you're seeing the, you know, the way the wind's blowing, and it's not blowing toward a network series that much.
Yeah, David, you and I talked about that with the Golden Globes. On one of our phone conversations.
David, have you ever been to any of the Star Trek conventions? Like just a Star Trek?
I know, which is, I don't really have an excuse. I mean, I live in Los Angeles, and Vegas, I can get there in 3.5 hours. It's a short drive across the desert. So they have them at Vegas all the time. I know a friend that has. I guess, again, I like Star Trek, but I'm not as into the mythos. Right. Like they had the Star Wars convention out here in Anaheim, and of course I'd want to go to that. But I guess with Star Trek, I like watching the movies, I like watching the TV shows, but I've never read a book. I never read a Star Trek comic. So I've never gone deeper into the story except for what the movies have the television series.
Yeah, I think like with me becoming a fan of Star Trek, like, you know, Star Wars was the first movie I ever seen in a theater as a kid. You know, it was there my entire early life. But like when Return of the Jedi came out and, you know, pretty much after that, it had faded into the shadows.
Yeah.
And that, and Star Trek filled in that hole that I didn't have for a sci-fi, you know, series. And Next Generation was like, you know, I had obviously watched Star Trek, you know, like I had watched Brady Bunch and all those other shows when USA Network used to play them.
Yeah.
But like when Next Generation premiered, I'm like, oh, this is awesome because it's a new series in that universe.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was hooked at that point. And, you know, the conventions are cool. And I'm like, you know, that's a cool idea that they're doing these conventions. But like Brian said, for them to do like this New York convention, they got to have a hook because there's been so many conventions, you know, in the last 25, 30 years of track that it's like, you got to have a hook besides it's in New York City.
So every red shirt that's alive and every girl that played an alien that Kirk hooked up with.
Like
that's what they should
do. I literally think like your idea is like got a little bit of sarcasm to it, but I think your idea is a good idea. I think it's a good idea to bring anybody who was on the original series, guest stars, and that anybody who's alive, bring them. You know, you can do panels with the guest stars and, you know, what was it like for you on this series? And I'd like to see them bring some of the writers. You know, I probably won't go. I mean, you know, I'd rather, you know, like David said, the Las Vegas show.
Yeah.
And David, if you ever get the chance, people say that show is like awesome because it's,
it's
literally like, you know, a more fan friendly show. It's a creation show.
When
creation.
Is it?
It's in August. I think.
David, book a room. We're going to go, all three of us.
Wow.
We'll hit Vegas.
David, you're paying for everything.
We'll Periscope it.
But oh, it's on me. Oh, no.
The Collider card.
The Collider
card. I know.
I need to get me one of those, actually.
It's fun.
Oh, man. I need to get one of those.
Corporate card. That's it.
All right. So.
But, yeah, you know, it's a cool idea to do the 50th anniversary conventions are cool and bringing, you know, who's alive of the cast in. And that, you know, obviously Takei does a lot of shows and Nichelle Nichols does a lot of shows. I've met them and they are cool people to meet because they are very fan friendly.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things where, you know, I think like people have said, Shatner is not as fan friendly.
Yeah.
But I think when he's on stage, he has a very good presence and it's enjoyable to see him talk about the show and what he remembers of the show and that. But if you go to these conventions, it's definitely to talk to Walter Koenig and talk to Nichelle Nichols and talk to George Takei because, you know, they were there, but they weren't the main focus of the show. So they got to see a lot more and tell a lot more stories. And I've got to meet Leonard Nimoy at one point and he was awesome. He was very fan friendly too. So.
Yeah.
So and one of my favorite characters.
My buddy Chris is in the comments right now and he got to see Shatner's one man show and he said it was really fun.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Shatner on stage is a good performer. Like Shatner on stage, like during panels and that type of stuff he's awesome.
Yeah.
And I mean Shatner
he does a great interview too. The captains that documentary.
Yeah, he's the most recent one.
That was very good.
The one on Netflix called Chaos on the Bridge.
No, I haven't
watched that one because it's about the first 2 years of Star Trek: The Next Generation, and it's Shatner. It's one of those shows like he interviews people, and he literally interviews the entire writing staff of the first two seasons of Next Generation, and like Patrick Stewart and Jonathan Frakes come in, and because there was a lot of crazy shit going on in those first 2 years with Roddenberry of Next Gen.
Okay.
So it's definitely worth an hour and a half watch. It's on Netflix. I think it was produced for Netflix.
No, I'll check that out.
All right. So we should probably wrap up.
Yeah, sure.
It's been a while. We've taken enough of David's time.
David, do you feel that way?
No, but
I'm having fun.
David's
going over 3 hours.
Getting to talk to people that you don't get to talk to.
He gets to talk to the 12 people who don't like watch his show but listen to us.
Yeah.
So.
Well, yeah, when I'm doing Collider, I just talk to a camera, and then I hope somebody gets what I'm saying. Yeah.
All right, so David, just, you know, we've kind of been been telling people all show where they can find you. Where can people find you online?
So a few places. So first and foremost, I'm on Twitter at Griffin. Yeah, kind of got off the Facebook. But I'm on Twitter at Griffin DE. That's GRIFFIND on Twitter. Also, I have a few places on YouTube you can find me. So Think Hero Pro, look up that page. I'm on there. I'm also on Collider. You can find me on the Arrow. Sorry, not the Arrow. The Flash Recap Show and the Star Wars Rebel Show
after Arrow.
And also
after Arrow.
After Arrow. Also on the On Screen Rant, you can find all my written content. I'm doing Shannara Chronicles right now. I'm doing Black Sails. I'm going to be doing Outlander. Great show there coming out pretty soon. Also going to be doing Vikings, which is going to be split into two. It's going to be like season 4.5. And they're doing, I don't know, they're doing like the whole Sopranos thing. They're doing like 10 episodes and 10 episodes.
People keep telling me to watch crazy. Vikings. I'm like,
it's good.
I watched the first episode and fell asleep.
Oh, okay.
It was 3 a.m. when I started watching it. So.
And Outlander, but, I've watched everything except the last 6 episodes, I think, and I really liked
it. It's a slow build.
It's a good show. I mean, it was a really well-done show, but I'm just like, you know, stars for me, sometimes I'm like, oh, when's the boobs going to show up? Because it's just one of those things where I'm like, man, after Spartacus, it's like everything has to get naked on that network.
Well, we were talking about Agent Carter earlier, and you recognize the one woman who plays Jarvis's wife. You know, she's in Outlander. Yeah. She's one of the Claire's friend when she goes back in time.
Yeah, yeah, that's where I was like, you know, mm-hmm. I had recognized her because obviously you see these people and you're like, they look familiar, but they don't. And I had to go on the database and look and see. I was like, oh, okay, that's where I've seen her at before.
Right.
It's a good show, though.
Yeah, those are all the places you can find me. That is a good show.
Yeah. So, all right. So, as always, it'll all be in the show notes. You know, hey, subscribe to us on iTunes. It'll really, really help. If you have time to leave a review, that would be great.
4 or 5 stars. I would say 4. 5 stars. I caught myself this time.
You can do 4. You know, just don't do any lower than 4.
Do 5. So we get up in the rankings.
So, and subscribe. So, yeah. So you get all this nonsense to your phone on a regular basis.
Dear Lord.
anyway, I'm Brian Tudor. I'm at Brian Tudor on Twitter and the Instagram.
Johnny Potterf. I'm at Johnny Potterf on Twitter and at J. Michael Potterf on Instagram.
You gotta rebrand yourself on Instagram and consolidate.
So, can you do that?
Yeah, you can just change your screen name. Anyway, all right. So a minimum of 5. Thanks, Chris. Anyway, so hey, that's been our show for this week. We're doing this on Blab because I'm too cheap to pay for software to record a Skype call.
Okay.
So,
David, it was good talking to you, obviously. Yeah. You know, this is my first meeting.
Yeah, same here, Johnny.
Nice to meet you.
But yeah,
through the internet.
Thanks for having me on.
Yep.
Thank you.
Through the power of the internet.
Power of the web. Have a great week, everyone.